There, and you got your t-shirt. Make sure you wear your t-shirt tonight. And we got they put a cool video together for us, and we'll share some of those things that we were able to do and be a part of this past week. Also, I wanted to share, I had three or four things. One of them was that Keith's going to be with us at family camp. And then those that we had Livy Steele on our prayer list, and I didn't realize it, but she had passed away about 3 weeks ago. She's down from southern Indiana, and I know many of you have known Charlie and Livy for years, and Charlie himself is not doing well at all now either. So just continue to remember them. And as Keith said, there is much going on. We've got on our schedule there, as if you ever go to the website and it says HCC events, there's always something to do at Harlan. Seems to be true. So pray about those things. All right, and so this month we have been continuing to discuss humbling ourselves before God. As we said, this is a month where the world looks at pride and self-promotion. But so far in our three lessons prior to today, we have discussed that humility needs to begin with the individual. And unless we humble ourselves, we cannot draw near to the Lord. The second message we discussed, that unless we are humble, we cannot ask for others to do what we are not willing to do. In the last message, we learned that as fathers or as parents, we must be humble to to receive the wisdom that the Lord desires to give us to raise our children to be followers of Him. So then in this message, we're going to consider what we need to do to receive blessings and lead a pleasing life for our King in the nation in which we live. Obviously, this is a year of elections, and we are looking for, we'll have a president. They'll be voting for president and many other offices that are so important. And we need to remember that God has blessed this nation in which we live in. But be not mistaken. We can look throughout world history, and we can look to the Bible that He has also blessed many and other nations throughout the history of the world. And those blessings then, as we can tell, they don't last forever. Don't think just because we are the United States of America that we will always be a nation that God blesses. I believe that we are on that hinge. There are so many things that we do see that we can't stand, that we don't want to be a part of, that we find deplorable and detestable. However, there are still many good things and great things that are going on, and especially when government is left to the states, as I believe it should be originally. Doug had shared something with me this week that the state of Louisiana passed that once again, all classrooms will be required to have the Ten Commandments posted in them in the state of Louisiana. And so that is that's one of those things. I'm not saying people are going to follow them. I mean, we've got speed limit signs all over the roads, and people don't follow those. So just because they're there doesn't mean people, but at least they have the opportunity to look at those things and be reminded of those. Even as Christians, we still find the value in those Ten Commandments. We're going to look this morning at some of the things that different prophets have shared about the nation of Israel that are very applicable to our nation that we live in today. And hopefully we'll learn things before it's too late. Before the Lord, you know, the Lord made all these promises with Israel if they were faithful. And I'm just letting you know right now, he has recanted or taken back those promises because the people have not kept them. And don't think he won't do the same thing with this country. And so hopefully we can learn from that, share others with that as well. The first one we want to talk about is the prophet Zephaniah, probably one of the most popular books in the Bible, right? There are three chapters in his writings, him as a minor prophet. But and when we say minor, that doesn't mean that they don't have much to say. It just means that the books are smaller in their writings. But if you read like the first six or seven verses in that chapter, if you could take the time, you know, it says that the Lord is going to come in and he has made a promise with Israel and Judah. But now because they have failed to keep their word, now he's going to come in and he's cleaning house. And he's going to take all these things away from them. And there's one thing that really, down there about verse 6 or 7, I think it is, where it talks about because of the wicked priests, the evil priests that are worshiping Baal and different things of that nature. But then it talks about even the priests who worship on the roofs of the houses that praise the hosts of heaven. He says, I'm going to take them away as well. And then you read, it's because then they're not looking to God alone. In that statement, he makes that they're praying then also to their king on earth, or those leaders that they feel are going to provide them with all that they need. Well, here, I'm here to tell you that when we go to the polls in November, or those of you that may vote early, go earlier than that. When we go to those polls, I encourage you not to vote as a Democrat. I encourage you not to vote as a Republican. I encourage you not to vote as a Libertarian. I encourage you to go to the polls and vote as Christians. As Christians, if we want to change our nation, if we want to bring this country back to one nation under God, then that's the way it's going to happen, is that, first of all, the church has to stand up, and we have to influence those around us. We can influence those around us, those that maybe don't go to church, those of maybe denominational persuasion. We'll say this, just because people go to church or even a denominational group doesn't mean that when they post those ballots in November that they are pulling them for the arm of God. And like I said, that again starts with the church. And so we need to be careful with this. So Zephaniah is kind of letting the church know, or letting the Jews know here, those of Judah and those of Israel, that you know what? You've had your opportunities. You could have been blessed. You were blessed. You could have maintained those blessings. But that didn't happen. And so the prophet Zephaniah, as well as many numerous other prophets that are there, the major and the minor prophets, would give warnings concerning the way the nation of Israel was conducting themselves. We as United States of America would do well to take heed to these warnings and repent and turn back to God. You know, we don't have to wait till the 4th of July to thank God for this country that we live in. We can do that anytime and should be doing that. It would be a big step for our country if during this month of June, this month of pride and self-pride and arrogance, that a repentance would start to take shape. One of the saddest things that, and I shared, I think, this last week with, but remember when we had Matt Miller with us, and he talked about how now the Western culture is all influencing the Eastern culture, and for years it used to be the other. He said 3 or 4 years ago, they had no such thing as pride festivals and parades and banner waving and things of that nature, and now it's starting to run rampant over even in Thailand. And you would think, as liberal as some of those areas are, that they would have already been. No, they're following American influence. The Lord has made us great. I know one of the ones running for office says that we need to make America great again, but it's only God that can make America great again. And may He use and allow us to make that happen. So, Zephaniah chapter 3, our text for this morning, says, "But I will leave among you a humble and lowly people, and they will take refuge in the name of the Lord." And this goes along perfect with Josh's communion meditation, is reminding us that the Lord's going to come in I think as we see this, he says he's going to leave a group of humble and lowly people. I don't think that's 95% of the nation. I don't think it's half the nation. I think the number is very, very minuscule, unfortunately, that Zephaniah went and what they're talking about. Because as we know, people want to do their own thing. You find that out at work. You find that out at the ballpark when you go there for watching the kids. You find it at mall or in the town when they want to go shopping. People want things their way. And nothing is different in the church. But we need to remember that we're not here for you. Right? Well, that's pretty rough. No, we're here for Jesus. Take refuge in the name of the Lord. And if you come here and you get your feelings hurt, then that probably means somebody's doing their job. Because it's not about you. It's all about Him. And so as we look at that and we see that Zephaniah here, he's saying, but I will leave. This is still where God is so good to us, better than we deserve, is that he could wipe the whole lot out. He could take his promises away from everybody, but he says here at the end of Zephaniah that I'm going to still leave among you a humble and lowly people. But you know what? It's a choice that you have to make. As we said, when you go to the polls, you're going to make a choice. And you know what? You're going to have to live with those choices. The Lord says here, I'm going to leave you some humble and lowly people, but it's your choice. You can continue on uplifting and praising yourself instead of humbling yourself and abasing oneself. But those that do humble and abase themselves will be able to take refuge in the name of the Lord. One of the things I wanted to share with you is we had decided in our last meeting that one of our regular mission works that we're going to support, and we did it back for the Christian Living or the Christmas Living Proof thing, is we are going to be supporting the Hippa Valley Christian Missions now as well. And so there's a bunch of information out there. I've got all sorts of packets. I think there's 3 different brochures that they've got that you can find on that. And one of the things that I found was interesting in there, that I can't remember if it was in one of their pamphlets or it was on their website. I think it was in one of the pamphlets. But it said just by statistics, the way things are going in the world today, that by the year 2060, now there's people like me, don't have to worry about that, okay? I'll be long gone by that time. But 2060, that 50% of the world's Christian population will be over there in the Sudan, Africa area of the world. 50% of all. In other words, what they're doing is that's a great commentary on Africa and Zimbabwe and all those things going. It is a terrible commentary on the United States of America. Because, as we've said before, you may be gone, long gone. But we've got kids, we've got grandkids, we've got great-grandkids here that, have you ever thought that you or your family, your grandkids might have to leave this country to pursue another country where they can have freedom of religion? I'm just saying, world history shows it over and over and over and over again that it has to happen. Don't think that we've got it so good and so going on here in the States that we're beyond that. Because that's exactly when it happens then. Take refuge in the name of the Lord. This name is not the name of the nations or countries or continents. It's the name of Jesus. When people will leave behind the names of religious leaders, dictators, and personal glory seekers and simply follow Christ Jesus and lay hold to His name and His name alone, there's no such thing in the Bible as a hyphenated Christian. It's either you're a follower of Christ. That's what that first few verses, like I said, verses 6 or 7 was. They had the priests that were praying to the host of heavens, that were praying to the Lord, but then they were also praying to the king of their country for him to be their savior. Now, I think we should pray for the leaders of our country and our nation, and we're going to get to that. But at the same time, they're not our deliverers. They're not our saviors. They're not our redeemers. Jesus Christ is. And what we need to understand is that when people will leave these names behind and just simply follow Jesus, that a change will take place. It happened in Acts chapter 17 and verse 6, that second portion of that verse, when it says that these men who have upset the world have come here also. How many times has it been said of that of Harlan lately? Well, that church there, they're turning things upside down. Or Fort Wayne, or Indiana. It's high time that we sincerely do our best to turn this world upside down for Jesus. We like to talk about it. Oh, we pray for revival. We will pray about it. But here's the simple question. You talk about it. You pray about it. Now what in the world are you going to do about it? But Zephaniah wasn't the only prophet. As we said, just about all of them had that same message. But we want to look now at Isaiah. Isaiah the prophet gives us a message to heed, and through him, the Lord tells us that the messengers will give questions that we will need to answer. And so how will we answer? We cannot plead ignorance, and our arrogance will not work either. Isaiah 14:32, it says, "How then will one answer the messengers of the nation?" We've looked into the book of Revelation, and as we see in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, that when it talks about the churches and each one of them having the messengers, who is that? Some say it's the preachers, some say it's the elders of that. And so it says, so how then will one answer the messengers of the nation? That the Lord has founded Zion, and the afflicted of His people will seek refuge in it. As we've learned also when we did our Revelation study, is that Zion is referencing the church, And those that realize that they need to humble themselves and elevate Christ are the ones that will seek the refuge, and those are the ones that will find it. As we looked in our Zephaniah text, it's those that will humble themselves and make themselves lowly that will seek out the name of Jesus. If you're not willing to start with yourself, then why would you think you needed a Savior? You must realize our own failures. What we need to realize, as I hope that we do, is and pass it on to the world, is that they'll find hope in Jesus Christ and His church. That's the only kingdom that's going to stand for all time. That tells us, we're told that in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Found this, and so I wanted to share it with you. A gentleman by the name of William Beebe, he was a naturalist, used to tell the story about him and Teddy Roosevelt. Now, this isn't William Beebe or Teddy Roosevelt. It's just a picture of him. But as they were together at Sagamore Hill, after an evening of talk, the two would go out on the lawn and search the skies for a certain spot of star, like near the lower left-hand corner of the great square of Pegasus. And then Roosevelt would recite this: "That is the spiral galaxy in the Andromeda. It is as large as our Milky Way. It is one of 100 million galaxies. It consists of 100 billion suns, each larger than our sun." And then Roosevelt would grin and say, "Well, now I think we're small enough. Let's go to bed." And so any time that we think that we are greater than we are, just take a look at God's creation. Now, we are His prized creation, don't get me wrong. But look at just this great planet and cosmos and that is around us. And it'll be a reminder of how little we actually are. You know, it'd be nice to have a president and political leaders today that acknowledge the power and the majesty of the God of all creation. You know, we can pray for national leaders, and this is where we were talking before, to be what the Lord wants and what the Lord desires. And that's all well and good. However, if we want for America to change, then that change begins with you and with me and with us. The changing of the world begins with the church, changing from the mindset and the thinking of those in the world, that we need to repent, that we need to change our ways, and we need to make ourselves think like the Lord. And so we've been having our challenges, and we've been doing a lot better on that. Went down a little bit this past week because many of us were occupied at youth camp. But we've been using our prayer wall. And so the first week, we prayed for ourselves, humbled ourselves. Second week, we picked out somebody to pray for. Last week, then, it was praying for our parents and those leading our children, that they would humble themselves and follow the wisdom that God has to offer. And so now, as you know, we're going to ask this week that we pray for our nation. And not just pray for America, but specific things. Our government, our local government, and if you don't know who some of those are, look them up. Find out who they are. Pray for them. Pray for the upcoming elections. Pray for all those that'll be in there, and use that prayer wall. And so when you go there and you check off those little praying hands that you've been there and that you've prayed, what that does is that encourages everyone else. And so if you do that and you go there and you do that, it's letting other people know that this is important to somebody else. And it needs to be important to me. But as we said, the changing of the world begins with the church changing from the mindset that it does. And repentance starts with us. And we know the classic verse from the Old Testament in 2 Chronicles 7:14, "And my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." And we know that the Lord was talking to Solomon there, and he was telling them all that was going on. And this was not written to the United States, but I will say this, we would do good to consider its message and turn from our wicked ways. That is the only way that God will hear us. Because we are told throughout Scripture that He is faithful to forgive and He wants to heal our land. What does that mean, church? It means that our land is sick. Church, our land, that the state it is in, is fatally ill. What I believe right now is that if our nation was a person, you would receive a call saying, if you want to come talk to them while they're still living, you need to come now. I believe that's where we're at in our country. That we, the church, need to understand that our land will perish if we do not instill a heartfelt and honest change. As we made mention of earlier, put ourselves aside for a moment and consider our children, our grandchildren, and even great-grandchildren. Yes, we need to make a change for ourselves, but make a change for them. Make a change so that it'll impact our nation for the long haul, so that it will change this nation back to a nation under God. A nation in which we'll be happy to leave our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren to live in and not have to worry about their freedoms. Church, pray for this land to be healed. And church, pray that God would make America great again. If you're here this morning and you're outside of Jesus Christ, first and foremost, before you can go about trying to change the world, you got to change yourself. Make sure that you're doing what the Lord asks for you to do. Well, you're not sure? Then find somebody, talk to somebody, become accountability partners with somebody. But make sure that you're doing what you can do and all that you can do. So many times, oh, I wish there was more I could do. There is. We just got to find it. So you got to make that change in yourself. You have to believe that Jesus is the Christ. We say this world needs to believe. Yes, they do. But you better believe it first, because you can't take it out to a world that needs to know about Jesus unless you know about Jesus. Believe in Jesus. Repent of your sin, the sin that put Him on the cross. That was our whole theme for this week at camp, was cross training, was carrying that cross. Jesus carrying that cross. Us carrying that cross. Jesus dying on that cross. He died for us. And if you or I were the only one that needed it, He would have still done it. And that's where we have those sins to repent of. Confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Let the whole world know who Jesus is and who Jesus can be to them. Be immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And do your best to live a faithful life for Him. We're going to mess up. It's a guarantee. But it's about picking ourselves back up. That's what repentance is all about. And getting back in step and in line with God once more. If you're here today and you're outside of Jesus, we encourage you. Make a change in your own life. That's first and foremost what needs to. Then change those around you, and let's make an impact on this nation to bring it close to the side of God once again. Will you stand as they lead us in our song?